Good morning, Agape. How are you doing? It's good to be here. It is actual morning for me when we're doing this, and so makes it easier to say good morning. But happy to be here, and so excited to be able to share with you again this Sunday. And I just want to take a few moments, just let us pray, and then we'll get into what I feel the Lord has been speaking to me about. And hopefully it will bless you as well. Yeah. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just worship you for all of your goodness, Father. We thank you that you have promised us that you'll take care of us. You've promised us that you will keep us healthy and whole. You've promised us that you will lead us and guide us and comfort us by your Holy Spirit. And we just pray right now, Father, we ask you that in whatever area anybody is lacking, or in whatever area somebody has questions or confusion or doubt or just needing clarity, maybe it's not full-fledged doubt or confusion, but they just need clarity. Lord, I pray that this time would be a blessing to all of us, and that we would see you more, that we would grow closer to you, and that we would be able to give you praise and glory for the things that you're doing in our heart and in our life. We thank you for these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a few things that I want that's just on my heart, and I don't have a huge, you know, three-step part to my sermon today. But I want to start by asking you just a few questions about yourself. I want you to take some time to reflect, take some time just to look inward a little bit, see what's going on in your heart, see where you're at with your faith. And that question would be, is there something, or what is, because we should all have something, but what is a thing or the thing that is in your life right now that you feel that God is maybe nudging you to take some steps? And there's some things in my life that are a little bit scary, right? It's a little bit like, well, should I do this? Could I do this? Am I not supposed to do this? You know, sometimes we get so paralyzed because we're worried about, is this God's will, or is it not God's will, or is it going to work? And a lot of times that is based from fear and not from faith. And so I want to talk about faith. You know, Hebrews says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And, you know, there's faith in the sense of our beliefs. You know, I live according to the Christian faith, the belief system. But then there's the faith that we walk out our daily life with, that is done by faith. And that takes faith, and that's not just a set of beliefs. It is part of it, but it's also trust. It's also boldness, confidence, assurance. And at the same time, it's also not sure. If you were sure of something, then you wouldn't have to have faith, right? And so before we get too far into that, I want you to think about something. You know, maybe you've been wanting a new job and you just haven't taken any steps towards that. Well, is that something that you really are believing God for? Is that something that you want to put your faith on? Whatever area you're trusting the Lord in, you know, I can give you an example. My son, you all know Logan. Logan is 16 and a half, and I've realized that I have to start trusting in the Lord for him. I mean, we always trust in the Lord for our kids, right? But there's a different level of trusting in the sense that we actually let go, and we lose control. Not lose control in a bad way, but we aren't making every decision. We're not telling him whose friend's house he can go to and not. And I do, but at the end of the day, he's becoming a young adult, and he's got to make some of these decisions on his own, right? And so that's something that I have to do, something that is uncomfortable, in order to receive. I mean, my prayer is that Logan will become a thriving adult. Well, if I never let go, if I never, you know, take those steps of faith and say, okay, Logan, that's your decision. You make that decision and let's see what kind of decision you make. Those are scary times. You know, if you're wanting to get a new job, if you're wanting to start a new business, if you're wanting to do a new venture, if you're wanting to move towns, if you're wanting to go back to school, whatever that is, I think sometimes we get a little bit confused in our thinking that when we have faith, that means there is no nervousness or anxiousness. I think that there can be, could be, maybe even should be. You know, if you have everything figured out in your mind right now, for that thing that you want, keep that in your mind, okay? If you have everything figured out in your mind for that thing that you want, then you don't require faith. That situation doesn't require faith. Now, maybe the Lord gave you those steps, and maybe that's the confidence that you have. And so, you know, if you know, like, you know, so-and-so owns this company, and they told me that they would hire me whenever they want, whenever I want, and I'd always have a job. Well, that doesn't take faith. That's something that's based off of knowledge. On the flip side, you know, there is a leading of the Holy Spirit, and we're gonna end with that because I don't want you just to jump off the deep end into something that you haven't prayed about and you're not for sure about. But I wanna the thing that's continued to come up is that if we are truly gonna be walking by faith, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And, you know, that's my starting point. What am I hoping for? What is my hope? You know, we're coming toward kind of the end of 2025. What is my hope for 2026? What are some things that I'm hoping for that there isn't evidence? You know, maybe there's little clues and little hints and little tidbits here and there where I go, oh, I think that this could maybe be something, but it's not for sure. It's vague. It's not clear. What are those things that you have in your life? And so when we have those things, you know, the faith is an interesting thing. And I think sometimes we get too much in our heads, or we absolutely abandon our heads and don't think, and we do things that are silly. Silly maybe as being nice, things that we shouldn't have ever done. And so a couple things I want to just talk about. I want us to read in Numbers chapter 13. Here we see there's two stories we're going to read, and there's two stories that I love when it comes to talking about faith, when it comes to talking about taking that step. You know, and I hope, this is my prayer at the end of this service, that you'll either remember one or two things. Excuse me. It'll be either a confident yes or a definitive no in your mind and in your heart. Whatever that thing is that you're hoping for. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So some things we hope for don't come from the Lord. You know, we are consumers in America. You know, if you're hoping for a new car, might be a good thing, might be something that's more carnal than it is spiritual. And we like to spiritualize those things. There's probably, you know, you probably know people in the congregation where they're always spiritualizing whatever it is to be able to get whatever they want. Don't look at them if you know them. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm like that. I can be like that. I love boats. You know, I think, well, if I had a boat, I could take pastors out on that boat, and we could bond, and we could even pray together. We could, and I try to justify my carnal desire to have a boat. And you guys are in Clear Lake, so you understand lake life. And trying to spiritualize it when it's not spiritual. It's just me wanting to have a boat. And that's okay to have that desire, but I think it's important that we call it what it is. And we don't have to spiritualize something that is just what we want. It's okay to want something. It's not okay for those desires and consumerism to drive the purpose of our life, but it's okay to want things. And so there's that balance on it, but, you know, making sure that we're not just, what's the word, that we're not coveting things or things that we want or material things, but that we keep our focus on the Lord. But what I want to do, I want to look at Numbers chapter 13, and I want to look at Luke chapter 5. Numbers chapter 13, God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they're leading, Moses is leading the children of Israel, and they send out spies into the promised land. Now, it's the promised land, and looking at it from our perspective, it's like, you guys should have done better. We know the story. They go in. Verse 13, it says, then they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all of the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27, then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So here is something. Let me put this in modern day situations. You know, my son, he's going to college. And let's say, for example, you know, he finds the school he wants to go to. Let's say it's ORU and it's expensive, right? And he, you know, he's talking about that. And this is what we do a lot of times. Well, if I could do what I wanted to do, I would do this. But we always put a but in there. You know, I this would be amazing. I could do this. I could do the campus life is amazing. It's spiritually oriented. It's a good community. There's people that I know there that live in the city, you know, but it's far away. But I don't know if I'd get accepted, but it's expensive. I don't know if I can afford it, but I don't know how, you know, we get into that mentality of making excuses for why God won't answer our prayers or for why God won't give us our dreams. And that's where the 10 spies are. There's 12 spies. Two, Caleb says, and Caleb, the next verse, and Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And here, you know, Caleb, he says, verse 30, he said, quiet of the people, said, let's go up right now at once and take it and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, he also saw those giants, right? And this is where we have to consider our perspective. You know, there's probably two people with similar situations. If it's not right now in the church, there's probably been times in the church that this has been happening, and they have different results. Well, the reason that there are different results from people that are in similar situations is because some people are acting like Joshua and Caleb, and some people are acting like the 10 spies who gave a negative report. You see, you can be like Joshua and Caleb, who saw the challenges, who saw the giants, who saw the fortified cities, and said, yes, they are there, but we are well able to overcome it because God is with us. Or you can be like the 10 spies who focus not on God. But if you look at this, it says that we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. They're talking about seeing things from their own perspective, from their own sight. And we do that as humans. we think of something that's amazing. Maybe it's an internship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a move. Maybe it's a whatever. Maybe it's a missions trip. I remember the first missions trip I went on. I was like, there's no way that I can go. I was 16 years old. It was $1,100. And I thought, there's no way. I don't have that money. I don't know anybody that has that kind of money. I can't go. And that was having a negative report, right? I was looking at me in my own ability. I'm like a grasshopper in the sight of this challenge that I want to overcome of raising $1,100 in 1990, fill in the blank, mid-90s. So we can be like that. It's so easy to become like that. God's really moving in my heart, my spirit right now about training pastors and leaders here in Thailand. And there's been some open doors. And some days I can start focusing on me and say, well, who am I? You know, how can I do this? And I'm not able to do this. And the circumstances are greater than me. And so if I choose to view myself from my own perspective as a human and not view the situation through the eyes or through the lenses of God's vision, his promises, and his faith, then I'll have two very different outcomes. And you'll see that in people's lives. People face the same things. Some people, and this is where it gets tricky. It's hard because, you know, I think I've shared with you guys before, I've met some people here that own factories, and they talk about how the Lord did, you know, miracles and everything is the Lord's and praise the Lord. And really, after you talk to them and you get to know them for a few months, it wasn't in their mind. It wasn't the Lord that did all that. It was them and their hard work and everything that they did and that they sacrificed and that they worked hard for and that they accomplished. So, you know, we can discern that, right? And sometimes we can, sometimes we can't, sometimes we don't know what's in other people's hearts. And so it's hard to say definitively, well, this is why this happened for this person and it didn't happen for that person. That's not a game that I think we should be entertaining or a mentality that we should be living in. But I want you to think about you, your dream. It can be so simple. It could be that you want to move halfway across the nation and live with your kids and your grandkids. It could be that you want to quit your job and get a better job. How are you going to approach this dream and this situation? Are you going to be like the 10 who doubted? Or are you going to be like Joshua and Caleb that said, hey, yes, there were giants. Yes, we're not as strong as they are, but our God is. And because we are with him and because he is giving us the land, we are well able to take it. Now, we know that story. We know how that story ends. They don't go in. They believe the 10, the negative report of the 10 spies. They don't go into the promised land. They spend 40 years in the wilderness because there was a promise, there was circumstances, and they believed the circumstances more than they believed the promise. The second story I want us to look at is Luke chapter 5. Jesus was speaking, became a multitude of people there. He got in a boat, in Peter's boat, and he said, launch me out. So he kind of had a little bit of a platform and was not being bombarded by the people. Luke chapter 5 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Here, Peter is, again, there's a command or a promise from the Lord. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. Jesus is saying, hey, let's go out into some deeper water. I want you to put your nets down and you're going to catch fish. A carpenter is telling a fisherman what to do. And Peter, so there's the promise, right? This is the command or the promise, the thing that God's telling us to do. And Peter heard that, and he had the circumstances just like the 12 spies, just like the children of Israel, just like Moses and Aaron. They had the circumstances that was staring them in the face. And the circumstances can be very loud. The circumstances can be very, very intimidating, can cause fear to be in our life. I'm on the tail end of recovering from a back injury, and there was times you can't deny the pain. There's times when you're like, I don't know what's going on, losing strength in my legs, can't go upstairs. What's happening? Fear can grip your heart. And that's a real thing. And I don't think we should take that lightly. And I don't think faith, you know, I don't think that if you're in that situation where you experience that for an hour or two or a day or a week or however long, you can always repent and come back and get into faith. You can always come back and say, no, you know what? I need to put my eyes on the Lord. So Peter and his partners said, Jesus, we've toiled all night. Listen, we're professional fishermen. We know how to catch fish. But their response was, so the 12 spies was, here's the promise, here's the circumstances. Because of the circumstances, we can't do it. Peter went backwards and he said, here's the circumstances. Listen, this is what it is. This is how it is. But nevertheless, at your word, we will go. We will launch. He said, Master, he said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And so he looked at the circumstances and said, well, this Jesus guy who's doing miracles, who's a prophet, he's a something, right? He says to go do this. You know, maybe they were there when he healed other people and they saw these things that were happening. And so they decided to view the situation through the eyes of God, through the eyes of the promise, and to ignore the circumstances. The children of Israel viewed the situation through the circumstances, ignored the promise. All you got to do is switch your focus. Stop focusing on you, your ability, what you can do, and put your focus on God and what he can do and what he is promising you today. So here's what I want to leave with you. Number one, if it requires faith, it requires faith. I know you're thinking, Bob, that's not very helpful. This is what I mean by that. You might be a little bit nervous. You might not, because here there is a part of it that is definitely unknown. Because if it was known and everything was secure, it would not require faith. So there's definitely a part of it that is unknown, and we need to embrace that. And we need to say, okay, I don't have this all figured out, but I feel like this is what the Lord is saying, so I'm going to take that step. Okay? If you didn't have that unknown, you're not using faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, maybe they're out from the distance. Maybe the promise has come to you. Maybe the Lord has promised things to you, but it's not there. It's not physical. It's not tangible. If it's going to be faith, you're going to have to step out. Basically, you're going to have to take a risk. Take a risk of what? Take a risk of failing? Take a risk of mishearing God? Take a risk? You know, if you're looking for a new job, you might take a risk. You might have to hand in your resignation. Most things that have happened in my life always happened after I took a step. That step can be a challenge. That step can be difficult, but that step is vital. It's necessary. It must happen. So if you feel a little bit nervous, that means you're doing this with your trust in him and not in your own confidence, not in the circumstances. You haven't lined everything up to where you can see it. And you're saying, yes, I know that this is going to happen because I'm 90%. I know I've talked to everybody. I have everything figured out and worked out. No, that's not what faith looks like. Faith is when we go not knowing, not being guaranteed. And a lot of people wait till they get a job offer before they resign. And I'm not saying anyone should resign, but I'm saying you should take a step. if that's what the Lord is leading you to. And so on the flip side, it isn't just blindly jumping either. If the Lord is leading you to something, and it's in this dream is from God, it's almost like, I remember a Bible school teacher taught us about prophecy and how prophecy was to confirm something that the Lord had already been speaking to us in our life, in our heart. It wasn't to direct our life. It wasn't to foretell the future, not in the New Testament, at least. It was to confirm things that the Holy Spirit had already put in our hearts. And so I think of it like this. It's not necessarily a prophecy or prophetic, maybe, when we're taking these steps in faith. But when we think, I want to do this thing, maybe to people outside, it looks odd, but it might be something that you thought about for years. It might be something that you've connected with and that, you know, you've really enjoyed and are good at already. And you've always had a dream to do that thing. You've just never taken that step. And so some people are going to look at you as if you're crazy. But if you have that, where the people that really know you wouldn't say that. The people that really know you would say, oh yeah, this makes sense. I mean, why wouldn't you do that? And so I want to encourage you, you know, Proverbs says that there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Ways that we can make sure that we're not making a mistake is to talk to our good friends, our close friends, not everybody and not everybody in church. You know, I like the thing of, you know, finish it and then tell it, like do it and then tell people what you've done instead of I'm going to do this. That takes a little bit of pressure off. You know, once you've done it and you're in a different place of that season, it's easier. But the people that are close to you, you can definitely talk to them, get feedback, you know, and it, you know, maybe you say, well, I talked to so-and-so and they were like, what in the world? This is so off base. Maybe that's just what I get because some of my ideas are off base, not off base in an unspiritual way, but just like, it's like, what? You want to do what? But that's how I became a missionary, right? You want to move where? But the people that are close to you would say, yeah, that makes sense. I remember I came home from the mission field. I was visiting home and I'd had it in my heart that I wanted to pastor. And I never viewed myself as a pastor. In Bible school, I went into the pastor's group. I didn't go to the missions group, but I always did missions and I was a missionary. I came home to visit and I was talking to some friends and I was like, I don't know. I'm like, I think it'd be like awesome to pastor. But it just seems like so out of place. And people who are close to me looked at me and almost surprised. And they said, what do you mean out of place? That's totally you. And it's like, you know, then I'm shocked. Like, really? You, me? And like, oh my God. And then they'll tell you, you know. So the people that are close to you and know you are the people that will maybe be able to give a little bit of confirmation. And that is in some ways confirmation and prophetic, right? So don't look for a word. The Holy Spirit leads you from the inside. And whatever that dream is, man, I feel like, man, God is doing something. He is doing something right now. He is changing things around. He's moving people around. He's stirring things up. Whatever that dream is, no matter how big or small, I want you to think about it this week and pray about it and ask the Lord, what's one step that I could do to move towards that dream? Just one step. Doesn't have to be the whole thing. And I pray, and we do pray right now as we close, Lord, I pray that we would have the boldness to take steps where there is uncertainty. Yes, Lord. Boldness. Confidence. Confidence that goes against what our brain says. But we know that we are resting in your hands. We know that you are leading us, you're guiding us, you're protecting us. And we know that the sheep will hear his voice and that we do hear his voice as well. We praise you, Father. We thank you for this opportunity to be challenged. I'm challenged to take steps of faith in areas where I've been looking at things in the natural. We thank you. We praise you. Continue to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys. Hopefully you guys have a great Sunday, and we will see you next time.